Talked a little bit last week about giving and how a touchy subject that is, you know, and how I'm always really worried about that when we have visitors, and I'm like, oh man, I just don't want them to think that we're one of those churches that talks about giving all the time, you know. And honestly, I don't remember the last time we talked about giving, but it's like, and forgive me for being so bold, but it's kind of like the topic of sex, if you will, right? You don't have just one conversation for your whole life with your kids. You have many, many conversations with your kids, short conversations, you know? And over the course of their lives, that conversation should be had several times, you know? And if you don't talk about that topic or that subject, then you are doing your kids a disfavor, if you will. You're not training them on the way the Bible looks at those things, okay? And if we don't teach our kids, then somebody else is going to. Okay? And so if the church doesn't talk about certain things because it's maybe not appropriate, then the church is uneducated, and somebody else is going to educate the church. And that's not the way God would have it, right? He gives us his word as a guide, as the Bible says in Psalm 119, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You see, the word of God is our guide. It's our map. It's our GPS, if you will. The word of God shows us where to go, right? We all love our GPSs. We've become so dependent on them these days that some of us would have a hard time if it ever came to us reading a map, you know? But God's word is like a spiritual GPS for us, and it guides us. It shows us the way to go, shows us the way not to go, yeah? And so if the church, if I as a pastor, because it's an uncomfortable topic, don't educate you and we don't talk about these things, then I am doing a disservice to you. Then the church at Alabama is not educated properly on how the Word of God talks about giving. That is not God's intention. Okay? And so it is my duty, if you will, to present to you the topic of giving in a manner that is biblical and truthful, okay, and not portrayed in such a way as to motivate you to give to Alabama, okay? And there's the temptation, because Alabama obviously needs your support, okay? We need the tithes to come into the house of the Lord to continue the work of the kingdom, okay? But it's not God's intention that Pastor Russ brings forth a message that motivates all of the people to give to Alabama, to build up Alabama, per se, okay? But the tithes and the offerings and the service are to come in to the church to provide for the needs of the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom is what it's about. You see, it's not just about Alabama. We are a body. We are a community of believers. And there are many people, and you've seen it so often on TV that it has probably put a bad taste in your mouth. I know it has mine, to the point that I have a difficult time watching Christian TV at all. I'm just being honest. Okay? But oftentimes you will see preachers that are talking, and they'll give a great message and a motivating message, and at the end it makes you feel like you want to what? Support their ministry. Okay? And that's okay to a certain extent, because, you know, ministries need your support, there's no doubt. Okay? But there's something wrong when the preachers at the end of their speaking, tie it into this, you're giving to them. And that's really dangerous. That's really dangerous. I was listening to a message, some time ago on TV, and I was like, man, this is unbelievable. This is great. I was really getting fired up, and I was getting motivated, and my blood starts to pump in, and I was getting excited, and I wanted to get up off of my chair and do some stuff, all right? And then what does he bring in at the very end? Well, he ties it all in to me giving to them. And I was just, it was like somebody just whipped the rug right out from under me. And it bothered me terribly. And I'm thinking, wow, if that's happening to me, and I'm noticing this, how many other thousands, maybe millions of people are hearing this same message? And the message of Christ is tied in to you giving to my ministry. Do you see how dangerous that can be? And the Bible becomes a tool for people to give. The Bible becomes a tool to get more money. The Bible then becomes, instead of a guide, it becomes a tool of motivation. And that's really, really dangerous. Okay? And so, because of this misrepresentation of the Bible, can we have the rest of the lights on? Because of this misrepresentation of the Bible, and it's used in a wrong way, people have gotten a bad taste in their mouths, and they think all Christians and all churches are out to get their money. That is so untrue. That is so untrue. Biblically, that's untrue, okay? Biblically, all right? But oftentimes in the world around us, that is true, okay? And so what the Lord wants is us to have a healthy understanding of giving, all right? And I don't only just talk about money either. Giving has a lot to do with some other things that are just as important. Now, we talked last time about service. Giving of our service to the church, giving of our time to the church, giving of our talents to the church, okay? Sunday mornings, there are so many things that go on here that you don't even think about. Most of you don't even think about, okay? We're here at 8 o'clock in the morning making sure the sanctuary looks nice. All the ladies are working on all the decorations, making sure all the flowers are just perfect. Isn't it gorgeous? I mean, they do an awesome job. They were up here yesterday decorating as well. People are cleaning the bathrooms to make sure that the bathrooms are clean. There's a whole bunch of bread that comes in from Panera. And there's ladies that are organizing all that, making sure that everybody can get a little bit if they want it, if they need it, you know. The praise team is here bright and early practicing so that come time for worship, everything's good and we're together and we can focus on the Holy Spirit as opposed to focusing on our instruments, you know. And if you're not a musician, you may not understand that, but if you're not practiced, you have to focus a lot on your instrument and you can't focus much on the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, but if you are practiced and you're well rehearsed, you can, it's kind of muscle memory, you're just going through the motions so that you can focus on the Holy Spirit. You can listen and follow the Holy Spirit. Okay, if I'm not well rehearsed and well researched throughout the week, when I come here on Sunday morning, I don't have much to go on. Okay, and I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. All right. But it's not because I'm not prayed up, and it's not because I haven't researched. It's because sometimes God withholds things so that come Sunday morning, you're hearing it fresh, as am I. And that makes a pastor really uptight. Okay? But that does happen sometimes. All right? So when we are giving, there are some things that we need to think about. Excuse me. Now, giving, when we think of giving, in most cases, we're thinking of money. Why is money such a big deal? Why is money such a big deal? Well, I got some figures for you here, and I'd like to bring them to your attention. If I may, flip through a few pages here. Listen to this. According to Tom Blasco, the word pray or prayer is mentioned 289 times in the Bible. 200, almost 300 times, the word prayer or pray. That's pretty good. The word love, would you say more or less? More, you're right. 363 times the word love, or some relation to love. 363 times in the Bible. The word give or giving, more or less? Less. No. Three times as many. 1,043 times. Can you believe that? That blew me away. So do you think that in God's mind and in his kingdom, giving is important? Amen. You would think prayer, or at the very least love, but giving. God, why is it such a big deal to God that he would reference that 1,043 times in the Bible? What's the big deal? Well, funny you should ask. You know why it's a big deal? Because we're naturally stingy. Yeah. We're naturally stingy and selfish. That's why. God wants us to let go of some stuff. He wants us to let go of our time because we do like one of these. And he wants us to let go of our wallets because we put a chain on our wallets and nobody get out of our pocket. You ever see that? That's why they do that, you know. Okay? We're stingy with our stuff. And God wants us to let go of that a little bit. Amen. Okay? That's hard to do. That's hard to do. It's hard to relinquish our time. Time is so valuable. Sometimes we're so busy with stuff, taking the kids to basketball and football, and then we got to go to support this event and this function. We got bowling on Tuesday nights. We got bingo on Saturday nights, and we got all these things going on. Come Sunday morning, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for church. It's the only day I get to rest. How many of you have said that? Yeah. It's the only day, it's the only time that I have for myself because I've spent it all some other place and I got nothing left to give God. And we've all been there, all of us. And so then the battle, the challenge is to give God the best part of what we have as opposed to what's left over. You see? God blesses when we give him the very best of what we have, not so much what's left over. You see, there is a heart issue there because God knows that we're naturally stingy with our stuff. Including our time, including our service, including our money. Okay? And so when we spend it all some other place, we're putting the priority of God in our lives way down here. Do you understand that? We put God down here someplace, way down underneath friends, way down underneath family and work and all these other hunting and I mean, you could fill in the blanks with what other stuff you're involved in. Okay? You fill in the blanks. What stuff? Here's a question for you. Don't answer out loud. You might get run out of here. No. What stuff do we put above God? Okay? What stuff? Think about it. What stuff takes up time away from God? Fishing? TV? Yeah. Okay. Work? All right. And there's just, I mean, that list could go on forever, right? Do you remember that scripture? It says something like, you shall have no other gods before me. You remember that one? You ever heard that one? TV can become a god. Family can become a god. Anything, really. If you put it above God, it can be an idol. It can be something that you, in a sense, worship because it's taking your time and your attention off of God himself. Now listen, here's another question. What happens when we begin to put other things in the place of God? Okay? So God, we should be in church on Sunday mornings. Why? Because it is the gathering of the believers, because we learn, because we worship together, we encourage each other. Yeah? And it's time in the presence of a holy God that loves us dearly. Okay? That's why church is important. Okay? And so when we take time away from God, what happens in our lives? There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 6. It says, seek first, we read this last week, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Well, what things? Well, the things you need, the things you're worried about, the things you're praying about, the things that are occupying your mind. God's going to add those things unto you if you seek him first in your life. When we put God as third or fourth, that's dangerous in a sense. Yeah, right? So now, instead of giving God the first fruits of what we make monetarily, okay? Instead of giving God, let's just say a tenth, okay, just as a guide here, a tenth of what we bring in, instead of giving that to God, we say in our minds, in our own stinginess, forgive me, that I can't afford to pay. I can't pay. I can't afford to give. I can't afford to give God something. Ah, I've heard that over and over and over, all right? I can't afford to give God anything. At the end of the week, I don't have anything left to give. And so, God says, give of the first fruit. Give off the top. When you get your money, and this is the way God has designed it, that you give a tenth of what you get right away. That's the first thing that goes. A tenth of what you get is given to God, given back to God. Again, a guide, okay? Given to God because he gave it to you. And that leaves us with how much? How much percentage? 90% to pay for our bills, a little bit here to spare, a little bit to save, and so on and so forth. Okay? And so, well, you're thinking, well, if I get $100 a week, that means I got to give 10 bucks. Are you kidding me? If I get 500 bucks a week, how much do? 50 bucks. Okay? And so it becomes difficult, doesn't it? To give a portion to God of what he has given us. All right? And so what needs to happen in order for us to relinquish and give to God? Well, there's got to be a trust factor there, isn't there? If we trust God, and here's really where it starts, isn't it? To see if this isn't true. Oh, man, this is a lot of money. I could use this. I could get about 10 things I could use this money for right now. Okay? But God, I'm giving this to you, first of all, because you tell me to. Second of all, because I trust you. Amen. And so In the Bible, it says, test me in this. And we looked at this scripture. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing on you that you will not be able to contain it. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says to us in regards to this very thing. Test me. Test me. Try it. And so I remember as a young man, a teenager, beginning to work and getting some money, you know, and I was like, oh man, what can I buy? I always wanted the toys, dirt bikes and guitars and stuff like that, you know, and sneakers that were much more worth, yeah, not as much as I paid for them. You know how it is. And so my dad reminded me, okay, Russ, you need to, now that you're making money, you need to start tithing that money. I'm like, okay. But I would spend it all, and then come Sunday morning, I'm like looking in my pocket, what do I got left? I got $3 left. Do I want to give what's left of my check to the Lord? Okay. So really, I should have put a tenth of that aside so that come Sunday morning, I had a suitable offering, okay? If you were to come before a king, would you give him whatever you can rummage out of the seats in your car and out of your pockets? No, you would not. You would bring a suitable gift to that king. Why? Why would you do that? Because he deserves it. Because he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's the boss over it all. And he deserves an offering. He deserves the best, right? And so we don't come before the Lord giving just what we have left in our pockets after we've spent it all on other things. Do you see what a slap in the face that is to God? Okay. Now, I know that I'm probably stepping on some toes here. Why am I doing that? Why am I stepping on your toes? I'm stepping on your toes because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He knows that it's difficult to separate us from our money, from our time, from our stuff. And so we hold on to it like this. And God knows that we're like that. And he says, trust me. Trust me. If you set aside some of that, of your time, if you set aside some of your service, if you set aside some of your money, and you give that to me and to my kingdom, you watch and see what I'm going to do for you. You watch and see. It's like some of you are into investing, okay? Now, you wouldn't invest in something that you're pretty sure is not going to have a good return, would you? That would not be smart. That would not be wise. And so the Lord says, regarding these things, invest in me and see if I will not give you the best return, better than you ever expected it could be. So good that you're not going to be able to contain it. Amen. Okay? I have put my life into this practice since I was a young man. Some of you here have done the very same things. All right? Others today, and it's, you don't need to be shy about it. You don't need to be like, oh my God, I can't believe he's talking to me like that. Okay? Does somebody tell him how much I'm giving? Come on! Honestly, I have no idea how much you guys give. All right? I have no idea. Okay? But God, as a general rule, it's hard to give something that's ours. All right? Whether it's to God or something else. All right? Now, if we think about things, we live in a farming community, don't we? All around us, we got corn. We got apples. We got all kinds of fruits. And now we're seeing a lot of pumpkins, okay? We're seeing all kinds of stuff. We live in a farming community. Now, let's say there's probably about 40 acres worth of corn that's up there, down there, okay, behind us. Now, if the farmer that planted that field said, okay, now I need so much seed to plant this whole field, but I only have enough money to plant a quarter of it. What's going to happen? Come harvest time, he's only going to reap what he has sown. You've heard that saying, you will reap what you sow. And that is so very true. Okay? That farmer, if he doesn't plant that whole field with seed, he's not going to reap that, is he? Now, if he sows that whole field, even though it's going to hurt his pocketbook at the beginning, he's going to come harvest time, he's going to harvest that whole thing. And what happens with one stalk of corn? Well, how much seed does that one stalk of corn produce? All right? 100 times the one seed that he put in to grow the stalk, maybe less, 60 times. Okay? And so we are, in a sense, like farmers. Okay? If we sow sparingly, if we only put a little seed in the ground, if we only give a little bit to God of our money, if we only give a little bit to God of our time, then what are we going to get back? A little bit. But if we sow and invest generously into God's kingdom, be it our money, be it our time, be it our talents, we're going to reap generously. Amen. Follow me for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Did you bring your Bible today? All right. It's a good thing to have when you come to church. You never know. I could tell you something that ain't true. Happens. I wouldn't want to do that. But if you got your Bible in front of you, you can tell, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, meaning, oh man, I don't want to give that. If you're giving like that, that's not pleasing to God. That's not pleasing to God. Okay? Let's continue. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. What does that mean? All right? Like you're being pushed. You need to give more. You need to give to this ministry. You need to give to this guy or to that. That's not right either. Okay? So not reluctantly, not under compulsion. And why? Because God gives, loves a cheerful giver. God loves that. And because God loves when we give, if you think about it, he gave us a great example of a giving heart. We're going to get to that in a moment. And God, in verse 8, is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So basically that's saying, it's using that analogy of a farmer, all right? If you do this, God is saying, he's going to provide for all of your needs. You're going to have more than you need. Okay? In verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So, herein, when we give generously, when we give with a cheerful heart, that blesses God. That makes God really happy. And other people receive blessing from us. Okay? Now, we talked a little bit last week about the church has a budget. Okay? when you give your tithes, you're helping to keep the lights on. You're helping to keep your pastor. You're helping to keep a secretary. You're helping to make sure that we have what we need here to have what we have and need to keep running. You're making sure that we're warm in the winter. You're making sure the bills are paid, okay? And you, when you give to the church, you allow the church to be able to help other people in the community. Do you know that? The church gives on a regular basis thousands and thousands of dollars every single year to people that are needy in the community, not only our own church body, but our neighbors in the area. We are able to, because you're giving, to be able to support missionaries all across this beautiful world. Okay? When you don't give, the opposite happens. We're not able to do those things, or it takes from those things. Okay? When you have said, I'm going to do this, I commit myself to, you know, some sort of service in the church, okay, and you don't do it, what happens? Somebody else has got to pick up the slack, or that job doesn't get done, all right? When we commit to something and we say that I'm going to do this job and then you don't do it, well, that leaves a job that's undone, okay? There are, as I was saying, there's so many different jobs that are necessary for a Sunday morning to happen, all right? Somebody's got to run PowerPoint. Somebody's got to run the sound system, all right? Somebody's got to greet people at the door. So we need ushers to help collect. We need people to teach our children, people to be the head of the nursery and things like this. There's so many things you just don't even think about that need doing, and if somebody's not there to do it, it doesn't get done. The church is dependent on its people. Amen. As well as God. Verse 12 of chapter 9. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, let's turn there. While you're turning there, we've been talking about withholding. Withholding from God things that he is asking us to give. He's actually commanding us to give, okay? So if we withhold from God our time, if we withhold from God our money, if we withhold from God our gifts, we are robbing God. You ever think of that? We are robbing God. Well, wait a minute. You mean we're taking God's stuff? Really, Pastor? Come on. Yes. We are robbing God of something that is his. We're robbing God. If we refuse to give him what he is due, if we don't give him our time, if we don't give him our service, our talents, things that he has given, gifted us with, our money, we're robbing God of something that he deserves. And so we try to withhold it and keep it to ourselves, and we try to stock up so much of it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Now, I want to kind of set the stage here a little bit. Now, Peter, Jesus is telling his disciples about how he's going to have to suffer, okay? Now, mind you, his disciples have really come to love Jesus. They've come to believe that he is the Messiah. They've come to believe that he is the Son of God. He is the Lord. Now, but they're still thinking humanly, carnally, the Bible says. They're not thinking spiritually. They don't have the kingdom of God in their minds. They're still thinking humanly. So with this context, let's read this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, I don't imagine that set very well with the disciples, would you say? Peter took him aside. Now, can you picture this? Jesus, hey. Let's go over here and talk. Now listen, you can't be talking to these guys like that, all right? God forbid this ever happened to you. I won't let you be killed. You can't do this. If you die, then where does that leave the rest of us? And so Peter's thinking, you know, what are we going to do if you die? But Jesus is thinking, my people are sinful, and they're going to hell if somebody doesn't save them. And so I'm willing to give them the greatest gift that would ever be given. I'm going to give them myself. You think about that? Have we seen a greater gift than the one God the Father gave? The greatest gift that was ever given. What a demonstration of love. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his love for us in this. Let's just hold that our finger in that scripture for a moment. Romans 5, 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus did what? Died for us. The greatest gift of love. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. So Peter, in verse 22, took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, and you all remember this thing, okay? He says, get behind me, Satan. Now listen to what he says. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but what? Merely human concerns. Then Jesus told his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Listen to that. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. All right? And so in our humanness, we try to hoard our stuff. We try to hoard our money. We try to hoard our time and our gifts instead of using it to bless other people, to provide for the poor, to provide for the kingdom of God, to bless other people with our gifts, and so that things are done in the church with our time and so on and so forth. We hoard it all to ourselves. Do you see why God mentioned giving 1,043 times in the Bible? Because we don't want to give it. We're stingy. We're selfish. But God says, if you try to hoard it all for yourself, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. But he who loses it, who loses his life for my sake, will what? Find it. You see, it's contradictory to our human nature. We want to keep it all. But God says, give it away. Give it away. Why? Because God needs your money? Does God need your money? Let me ask you that. Does God need your money? No, he does not. He does not need your money. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And if we are withholding from him what he has given to us to begin with, He does not have our heart. Amen. He does not have our heart. Verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. I want to close with this scripture. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse 16, you may remember this scripture. We just talked about that scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Now listen to how this relates. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. But to save the world. God gave us his Son to save us. He showed us how to give. Do you think it cost God the Father something to give his only Son? Do you think that was a sacrifice to him? Yeah. Giving is not always a feel-good thing. Okay? Sometimes, oftentimes, giving hurts a little bit. All right? And there's risk involved. Why? What if I give my tithe to God and I don't have anything left over at the end? And that's the way we rationalize things, right? How do we give? But God says, test me. You try it. You give me what I'm asking you to give, and you watch and see if I don't provide for you everything that you need. All right? Now, this is not a, I'm going to give $20 or $50 or $100 this week, and then next week I expect to have double my return. Okay? That's not the way this works. This is not a lottery. This is not a slot machine or anything like that, okay? This is a way of life, a life of giving, a life of getting involved in the church as opposed to coming once a week, all right? And if you're satisfied with that, God will take what you will give him. But you're missing out on a blessing, okay? If we give of ourselves in support of the church, if we find a place to serve, if we work on the building, if we sing on the praise team, if we help in the sound booth, if we help with the safety team, if we help with children and teaching and so on and so forth, man, there's 100 different places you can serve. If we give of our money, the best of what we have, give that to God first, he will provide for our every need. He promises us. And you know what? God keeps his word. He keeps his word. Would you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. God is good. He loves you. He wants us to give so that we can be blessed. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Okay? I'm not telling you this because I want you to give your money to Alabama. I'm telling you this because God's word says it. God's word says it. And if I don't tell you the truth, somebody else is going to tell you something, and it may not be the truth. I don't know. God desires that we have a healthy understanding of his word. And I promise you that I will teach you the truth. I will teach you the truth. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our community, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, help us to have a healthy understanding of giving and all that that entails, our money, our time, our talents. Lord, may we represent better our love for you in the way that we give, Lord. May we better represent who you are to us in the way that we give. Help us, Lord, to relinquish control and to trust you with the things that are dear to us. Show us your blessing. Show us your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.